You're listening to No Broke Months for Salespeople podcast. In this episode of the No Broke Months for Salespeople podcast, Dan Roshan tackles the toughest growth roadblocks: finding clients, hiring the right people, and keeping top talent. He explains why every business eventually hits a ceiling without consistent lead generation and recruiting, why most leaders fail at hiring 90% of the time, and how teaching with vision turns your business into a magnet for ambitious professionals.
Welcome to the No Broke Months for Salespeople podcast, the ultimate destination for salespeople, business people, and entrepreneurs. As you immerse yourself in this show, you'll discover the secrets to unlocking consistent and predictable income. We reveal the new way to persuade human behavior by mastering the art of the teach-to-sell method. Get ready to transform your approach and achieve unparalleled success.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the No Broke Months podcast, which is a show for real estate agents to help you have no broke months. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the No Broke Months podcast. My name is Dan Roshan, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. I'm with Grant Wise. He's the co-founder of CoMarketing.com, which is the first of its kind platform that empowers your partnerships. He's an expert in marketing, advertising, and sales. And my voice is cracking already. My goodness, we haven't even started. Grant is a leading authority on performance-based partnerships, co-marketing, and helping you to grow your business to be profitable and predictable by turning relationships into recurring revenue and your influence into income. Welcome, Grant. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. It's nice to, it's good to be back. Good to see you again.
All right. Nice to see you again today. And today we're going to be talking about how real estate agents can really get additional profit centers for their, for their real estate business. You're already out there. You're already doing business. So we might as well have multiple streams of income because I want multiple streams of income. So Grant, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background. Before we do that, I have to say hello to somebody. And Grant, I'm going to ask for you to join me to Carolina, because she gets upset when I don't use my mug. And Grant brought his mug, which is the same as mine, to this show today. So hello, Carolina. All right, Grant, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, man. I've been in the real estate space 10, 11, 12 years now, mainly focused on marketing, advertising, and sales. My start in the industry was teaching real estate agents Facebook ads and turn that into a software company and turn that into a consulting company, and still do consult for top 1% teams throughout the US and Canada. But I noticed this trend very consistently in a lot of these higher performing teams. And it was that a lot of them were sending out referrals to home service providers and not making any money in return. And I got to a point where I'm like, somebody's got to do something about this. This is a no-brainer money opportunity for the right people. And I convinced one of the team leaders I was consulting at the time. I said, hey, can I just create a program and see if I can generate some extra income in the business? Week one, generated an extra $7,000 in monthly recurring revenue for the team. They've gone on just in the last 12 months, they've brought in an extra $117,000 in income that goes right to the bottom line that they can use for leads or tech or staff or whatever it is that they wanted. And then I started doing that for team number two and team number three and team number four. Then we started doing it with agents that were new in the business and agents that have been in the business for a long time. And it really worked for everybody because it's really a partnership that's kind of, you know, tailor-made for this industry. Real estate agents have access to homeowners. Home service providers need access to homeowners, and it creates this incredible relationship. It's extremely profitable for the home service provider, and it's obviously very profitable for the real estate agent. And that's what I've been doing for the last several years is helping real estate agents bring in additional income at a time where it is proven to be very important, and help them grow their business.
So how do you do that?
The number one thing that we do is when we walk into any business, whether it's an agent's business or it's a home service provider's business, is we've got to build something like a program that people can associate with. So the number one way that we start with the real estate agents that we work with is we just help them create what we call a preferred partner program. Some people call it a VIP program or vendor program. it doesn't matter to me what you call it, but some type of preferred program. And it's pretty simple. It's giving the consumer access to a preferred list of service providers that you've vetted, that you've got a relationship with, or that you've at least looked into. And then we call the mover. You know, everybody that's listening to this in real estate has a moving company that they recommend, a roofer, a painter, a plumber. It's one of the first things they teach you in class is like, you know, build your vendor list because you're going to need it. You're going to need people you can call on in the middle of these projects. And so we found, you know, there's eight industries that are highest paying, highest referred, and create a program. We call those people and we give them an opportunity to become our preferred service provider for that specific category. And they pay us, or they pay the real estate agent, on a per lead basis or on a subscription basis. So some people, I've got clients that are paying $3,000 a month to the real estate team on a subscription basis. And then I have others that are paying $100 per lead for every lead that gets sent over from that same real estate company. So step one, create a program that you can put people into. Step two, find the partners that you want to associate yourself with and that are willing to pay you, which is a lot easier than most people think it is. And then step three, we give people a way to send those referrals. So we actually, for all the people that we work with now, we just give them a website that's already got their vendors loaded into it. They can seamlessly drop a referral in there whenever they've got it. The home service provider's credit card gets charged if you're doing it on a per lead basis. The agent gets paid. And the consumer wins because the consumer gets taken care of. And so it's actually a much simpler process, I think, than people think it was. That was the big thing that I kept running into when I was early on doing this. I was like, why are people doing this? This is a no-brainer. And everybody said the same thing. Like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to offer them. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to charge. And those are all of the things that I spent a year doing, figuring out like, okay, what do we do? What do we say? Who do we say it to? How do we say it to them? How much do we charge for it? And it creates a nice little additional income stream for the agent. The average lead amongst 30 different industries, the average value of a lead that's sold to these home service industries is about $136 per lead. So that's solar companies, moving companies, roofers, that's all of these industries. And so if you think about it, like if you sell 10 homes a month, well, on average, you refer one home service provider per transaction.
Yeah.
That's $1,360 in extra income that you could be generating throughout the month for something that you're already doing. This is what I've always got to kind of get people to remember is like, I'm not trying to get you to do anything you're not doing. You're already doing this. You're just not getting paid for it. Meanwhile, these home service providers pay everybody. Angie's List, House, Thumbtack, Facebook, Google. They're paying nonstop to get more attention. And this is where, you know, the real estate agent has an opportunity to get in there and get paid for something that they are already doing that helps provide stability, cash flow, and all of the things that they need to grow their business. So that's how we do it.
What's the biggest challenge that your clients, that the real estate agent comes across using this strategy?
What I hear is most of the time it's finding the partners. It's how do I find the right people to partner with? And then what do I say to them? And I think that's the big scary thing. Real estate agents, I love them. I've been working with them for, 10 plus years. Don't always know what to say on the phone. And if they don't know what to say, they don't make phone calls. And so not so surprisingly, it's the same issue that they tend to have when it's creating these partnerships. So we do as much as we can to help them understand exactly what to say, exactly how to say it, exactly who to say it to. But that's the biggest issue I found is that the agent making the time to pick up the phone and call, Joey the mover and say, hey, I want to make you my preferred partner.
Gotcha. And so this is something that you help guide them on. Here's who to call. Yeah. Here's what to say. All right. Fantastic. And then, so let's go back into, cause you've been doing some form of marketing. I mean, I don't know if you remember, we've met twice, yeah. I think face to face, at least twice. And of course we've done, we've done a show together a few times. And so, so I've known you for a long, long time. And the only thing is I'm seeing that you're becoming like my younger twin,
Yeah. Got the bald thing going. We got the beard.
You got the beard going with glasses. Color in it. You got the glasses. My beard is, it's the color scale of my beard is, gray.
Yes. I've got a little more browns and reds in mine. So
I got you, my man. So anyway, so I say that I've known you for a long time and I've known you as a leader in marketing in the industry. In different variations, right? And so and what I love most about you, Grant, is that you make things simple, right? And it's you know, we think through and we think, you know, business can be, it's not necessarily always easy. Yet it can be simple, right? Yeah. And so I love the way that your brain works to be able to break things down simply. So I want to go through just in general. So talking, you know, a little bit away from co-marketing for a second, we'll get back to that. But just in general, when you see real estate agents, when they're marketing, when they're branding themselves, when they're prospecting, when they're networking, what do you see that really works well for them? What do you see that doesn't work so well? And where do you see the missing opportunities typically?
I have a different saying when it comes to business. Yours is nicer. I say business is simple, people are hard. And so for me, I think that marketing, advertising, and sales is like my art. Like, you know, it takes me 2 minutes to solve a marketing problem for most people. But it's because I've been doing it for 10 years, right? I've been doing it for a very long time. And I've been doing one thing for a long time. I've been doing a bunch of different stuff. And what you grow to realize over time is that marketing, advertising, and sales in real estate is actually quite simple. It's actually very, very, very simple. It's only when the agent starts to complicate it that it gets a lot harder than it actually is. In real estate, if you can do three things, you will never have to worry about money in your entire life. If you can get leads, i.e. people that want to talk to you about buying or selling a home, if you can do that, you're part the way there. If you can build a relationship with those leads, you do that through phone conversations, through text conversations, through face-to-face interactions. You do it through social media. But if you can build that relationship, and then number three, if you can close them, like when you actually get a meeting with them, a listing presentation, a buyer consultation, or whatever other types of consultations you have in real estate, if you can close the deal when you meet with them, you're going to be fine. If you can generate leads, if you can, i.e. build a brand, build a relationship with the consumer, and you can convert that customer, you'll never have to worry about money ever again forever. Like that's how this industry works. It's not going to change. This is an industry built on relationships. I'm not convinced it's always going to be that way, but I think 99.9% it's going to be that way. Like we're always going to want high quality professionals to help us solve big problems, especially when it comes to navigating the largest investment decision we will ever make in our entire life. I don't need help buying or selling property. I know how to do it. But through the transactions that I've done in my life, I've contacted a real estate agent to help me do it. I've owned two properties that I've sold. I did not need their help selling the property. And actually my strategies led to the sale of the transaction or led to the sale of the properties that I owned. But I needed somebody to help go through, do all of the other stuff that I did not want to do. Like if I'm an expert and I can do this in my sleep, why would I go hire somebody? Well, A, it's because it's a large decision. It's a massive transaction. I want a professional that's going to be able to help me handle it all. And so I don't think real estate agents are going anywhere, but I think that the real estate agents that are going to be gone, like that are going to get out of the business, are those that can't generate leads, can't build a relationship with the consumer, and can't close. And I say can't, but I mean won't, can't or won't. Can't, and that's a conscious decision that I think most agents make. You're making a decision to not put yourself out there. You're making a decision not to create the content. You're making a decision not to learn how to sell. And I think that the agents that don't do those things, this industry has an 84 or 85% turnover rate in less than 5 years. That's the reason why.
Yeah. And that's always been the case. I mean, for the 20 years
always
that
been
I've
the
been
case. Yeah. It's never changed.
15 years ago, 20 years ago when I started, it was the case. The difference is today you've got added opportunities or complications when you're looking at technology, big data, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and there's an overcomplication. There's a part of this where people overcomplicate it. And that's what, I think I said that, like if you overcomplicate this, like you just said, big data, whatever, AI.
Technology, yeah.
People will do an enormous amount of work to avoid getting on the phone. That's what I've found in the real estate industry. Let me go do this AI certification course instead of spend a couple hours on the phone doing what I actually need to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that we teach within the consistent predictable income community for real estate agents is that the basics are, you know, 1 to 3 hours. If you want to have no broke months, And I have had no broke months as a real estate agent since 2008. Many of those months, 10 plus transactions. If that's what you want as a real estate agent, then what you have to do is you have to commit or quit, but commit to 1 to 3 hours a day, lead generation, 5 days a week. That's it. That's it. And then you'll get a consistency. You'll get a predictable income or quit. And unfortunately, you know, for our industry, or fortunately, I don't know which, I think the majority of people that get into our industry do end up quitting. But for me, it's just, you know, get to that quickly. It's like, you're either going to do the job or you're not.
Yeah.
And what is the job? There's five things that I say the job is number one is to generate leads, which is what we're talking about. Number two is to convert those leads to meet with you, which again is what you said, Grant. And then number three is to get hired. I'll add a four and a five and of money-making activities, which is to negotiate and then practice your scripts and role play.
Mm.
And those are the five things that make you money as an agent. And the first three are the same as you said, and I'm sure you would agree with the second two or the last four and five there.
100%. 100%.
So if we're making things too complicated, how are we complicating things?
I think it's what I've discovered is it's avoidance. Like at the end of the day, I don't say this in a derogatory way. So if you're listening to this, don't get pissed off about what I'm about to say. Real estate is a fallback profession, mostly. Very, 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 very few people turn 18 and get their real estate license. That's not how it typically happens. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a very few, there's a few that I know, but very, very few. Yeah.
So, okay. What are we falling back from? Went to college, didn't stick with it. Got a job, didn't stick with it. Worked the bar, got tired of it, didn't stick with it. It doesn't matter to me like what it is. And again, this is not meant to be derogatory. This is just the truth. And so there's this habitual pattern over time of people not doing what they need to do in order to get where they want to go. That's a lack of discipline. It's avoidance. You avoid doing the work that you know you need to do so that you can get where you want to go. This is just something to be self-aware of. If it pisses you off, not sorry. It's just the truth. Like you are avoiding something. And so when I look at AI or I look at social media or do I need to be on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Grant, where do I need to buy my leads from? None of that stuff matters. If my claim to fame could be that if I'm a real estate agent and I'm not, but if I was a real estate agent, if I walked around with flamingo shaped envelopes and I manually stuffed those in people's mailboxes, eventually I would become known as like the flamingo agent, right? Or like the, hey, that's the guy with the pink envelopes. Like something would stick out. People would eventually call me. I would eventually close the deal. Like it doesn't have to be this complicated, but we avoid doing the things. And I have this quote going off in the back of my mind lately a lot. You shouldn't be asking yourself, what do I want to do to grow my business? You should be asking what is required to grow my business, and then you should do what's required. Most people are in their feelings because for some reason it's acceptable in 2025 to do only what it is that you feel like doing, which is stupid. And they're not doing the work that is required. The simple work that is required is you pull out this phone, you pick it up for 1 to 3 hours, like you said, and you talk to people. And you could be horrible at it. But in a week, you'll be a little bit better. In another week, you'll be a little bit better. By the end of a month, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to be going on more appointments that you can handle. And you're going to start closing deals within 90 days. That's the stuff though, Dan, that people just avoid. And so it's like, well, no, I've got to go get my AI certification. BS. No, you don't. It's stupid. What are you using AI for? Like, well, I'm going to create an AI clone of myself. And I'm going to go out and create, like, that's avoidance. Like you are just literally avoiding the work that you need to do in order to go off and be successful. And I think it's all really stupid. Like, I don't know why people do it. I think that there are, because I sound like an asshole, but like, if I'm thinking about the agent, you know, you were probably allured into this industry thinking like, it's going to be easy. Somebody told you like, oh yeah.
Big money, quick.
Yeah. You're going to make a fortune. You're going to be able to drive the Benz. You're going to have freedom. Like somebody did lie to you. I go back to that 99.9% certain thing. Like I'm 99.9% certain that somebody probably also did that for most real estate agents. Some dude that's going to make money off of you said, it's really easy. Just get in here and do it. But what he didn't tell you is this industry actually kind of sucks when you think about it. Not that it like, and I'm not saying this in like a derogatory way, but it's like, you have to be on the phone for 1 to 3 hours a day. That's just to get meetings. And then you've got to go do those meetings for 5 to 8 hours a day. While you're doing that, you have to simultaneously carry on conversations with 8 to 10 families who are navigating the largest investment decision of their life. It's going to be this massive emotional roller coaster for all of them. And all of them are in different phases. You constantly are stressed. You rarely get to see your family. But all of that stuff is if. You know, if you don't build systems and processes, if you don't learn how to properly manage your time, if you don't hire effectively, if you don't actually treat this like a business, this industry could change your whole damn life in a month. Like I believe that without question. If you stop avoiding the work that you need to do, I go back to my co-marketing thing. And I know that's not where we're going, but like the point I'm making is I sat there for years and years and years, and I begged the people that I worked with to take advantage of this opportunity because it was right there in front of them. Like, you guys are already doing this. You're just not getting paid. That's the last 10%. If you'll do that, you're going to make a fortune. And $100,000 isn't a fortune to the person that I did it for, but it's a fortune to the average real estate agent that's trying to make $100,000.
Yeah, doesn't particularly realize, if you're systemizing it so that it's extra money that you're doing the work anyway.
On top of real estate transaction, it fuels the business. Because imagine this scenario. Let's say that I'm new in the business. I've never sold a house in my entire life. Okay, first thing that I'm going to do is I'm not going to go try to get clients. I'm going to go get partners instead. I'm going to call the mover. Hey, my name is Grant. I'm newer real estate agent in town. I'm on track to do, you know, $1 million in sales this year or $3 million in sales this year. And I'm looking for partners that I can recommend whenever my clients ask me for moving. Here's how it's going to work. Every time I send you a lead, you're going to pay me $75 a lead, and you're going to convert every 2 leads that I sent you. I know that because I've got data from, you know, other people in my office. I know that you're going to crush with this. And so I'm wondering if you would be my preferred partner. You only have to pay me when I actually send you a lead, but I will market you on my website. I'll put you on social media. I want to create content with you. And we're partners now. Like, I want to crush. He's going to say yes. And then what's going to happen is I'm going to show up to his office with my camera and I'm going to make a piece of video content about everything you need to know before you move in 2025 or 2026. And I'm going to take that piece of content. I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm going to put it on Facebook. And I'm going to put it on Instagram with my unique link. So now anytime somebody goes and gets a quote from this guy, I get paid $75. And then what I'm going to get is what they call the brand halo effect. I look more like I am more than I am. I look bigger than I am because I've partnered with one of the most preeminent companies in town for moving services. So I get that brand halo because he has a good reputation. His clients automatically assume that I am the go-to resource in town. And then my following, even if it's 10 people, automatically assume that I'm already out there crushing it because I've created a partnership with one of the biggest companies in town. So I've got the brand halo effect. So now I'm generating more influence in the marketplace than I probably should, even though I've never sold a house before. I've got a way to make money that isn't transacting in real estate because this person's going to pay me every time I send them a lead. And then I've got now a trusted partner in the space who's not only going to share the content that I create with him, but also is going to start recommending business to me because I'm also going to offer to pay him for the business he sends me per lead, not per referrals and closings, which is illegal, per lead, which is not illegal. And I'm going to do that. There's 30 industries that rely on real estate agents to close, to connect them with home service providers. I'm going to go find premier partnerships in all 30 of those categories. And I'm going to do that before I ever sell a house. I probably am going to do it when I'm in pre-licensing, because then the day I hit the ground, I've got all of these partners lined up. I've got all of this content lined up. I've got all of these resources lined up, and I can just hit the ground and I can go running. And then I'm going to spend 1 to 3 hours a day on the phone. I'm going to spend an equally that amount of time equally creating content, and I'm going to go on appointments and I'm going to close. And I'm going to be busier than I could possibly handle in a fraction of the time. And then I'm going to turn in immediately, create a real estate team, and just start recruiting and funneling all this business to people. I'm going to hire an assistant. Like, I just gave you all a multi-million, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, call me on my stuff here. I just gave you a multi-million dollar business plan in approximately 2.5 minutes But somebody's going to listen to this and insert their pride and ego into there and say, well, yeah, but, oh, well, it's avoidance. It's coming up with BS excuses not to do the work. I just gave you all a way to make $1 million in the next 12 months, 12 to 18 months max. I'm dead serious and nobody's going to do it.
Well, we won't say nobody, but, you know, we get to choose.
1 to 3% will do it. Yeah.
Yeah, we get to choose whether we do it or not. And I do agree with you, Grant. And as I'm listening to you, you know, I'm recognizing that, you know, the observation that I've made through the years of whether, you know, I once upon a time owned a really, really large real estate brokerage and I've coached thousands of agents and I'm still in the trenches today. You know, I'm going on a listing appointment in about 2 hours. Right. And so, you know, and I have that team and I have the staff and it's really looking at, you have a choice. It's, you can approach this. I mean, there's different ways you can approach this. First of all, you can approach this without the seriousness that it deserves. And that's the majority of the agents that will fail. Secondly, then you have two agents that will, I don't know if you want to say succeed or not, but will at least survive. And those agents are either salespeople or business owners. And the difference between surviving and thriving is, do you want to be a salesperson or do you want to be a business owner? And I'm not judging. Whatever you want to do, that's your choice, right? Yeah. Yet, difference is, as a salesperson, you will always have to hustle. You will always have to go out, you know, like I'm going on this listing appointment later today. Well, I do that because I choose to and I love doing it. But, you know, I also love taking some time off. And so, you know, do I have to go on that? No, because I have other people that could. If I chose to say, you know what, I don't feel like doing it today or this month or whatever the case may be. So if you really want to be able to thrive in this industry, it's about learning how to be a business owner. And then if you want to be a business owner, there's four components to that. Number one, it's your mindset. You think about that. If you're building a building, that would be the foundation. Number two would be your ability to lead generate, find business. We're talking a lot about that today. That would be your first story. Your second story would be building your organization. We're talking around that, but that's not really the gist of today's conversation. But building an organization so that you can attract the right people for the right roles and help them to be able to achieve their goals. And then the last story, the third story on this building would be to be able to lead. And leadership is to teach somebody else how to think so that they can get what they want. And I'm going to just 30 seconds to plug a book that I wrote on this called Teach to Sell, Why Top Performers Get What They Want, Why Top Performers Never Sell and What They Do Instead. So that's Teach to Sell, Why Top Performers Never Sell and What They Do Instead, which is written to be able to show you how to be able to do the four components that I just mentioned to you, step by step by step. And so if you're curious about that, you can go to www.teachtosellbook.com. That's teachtosellbook.com. It's being published next year by Post Hill Press and distributed by Simon & Schuster. And I am really, really proud of myself how I just worked that plug seamlessly into our conversation. Yeah, Grant, thanks for your permission for me to do that.
That was nice. Yeah.
Like that?
That was good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway. So what are your thoughts about the four components that I just mentioned to you about belief, belief in yourself, lead generation, organization building, leadership?
You know, I really love it because it does start with belief. I'm in the middle right now with co-marketing, creating this online persona, because we're at a place in 2025 where if you're creating content and it is not interesting and polarizing, you're going to really struggle to break through. What a lot of people want to do is create viral content. It's not easy to do. It is hard to do if you're bland and you're boring. Like, we're just there with, especially with the rise of artificial intelligence, it's going to get really hard. It doesn't mean it's going to be impossible. It's just going to get harder. And so I'm in the middle of creating this character for comarketing.com, this new online persona for myself, to be polarizing, to be a character that can go out there and get a lot of attention. And the number one stop is belief. And I'm going to be really honest, like, oh man, do I see myself like this? You know,
what direction, walk me through that. Like, who are you pissing off?
Yeah. Well, everybody is the hope, right? So the character that I'm creating,
hey, Greg, you suck.
The character that I'm creating, and this is marketing. So we're having a marketing, you know, this just became a workshop, right? Like, okay, so when you're marketing, your objective is to get attention. And when you get attention, you want to repel people away from you, and you want to magnetize people towards you. That's how marketing is designed to work. The Sydney Sweeney ad campaign that just, you know, went viral within the last couple of weeks of us having this conversation. Brilliant execution. Do I think that American Eagle thought it was going to go the way that it did in that negative way? Like, I didn't even think that. I think it's very stupid. Yeah. I had no, like, what? So
yeah, they got sort of lucky that, I mean, it was a great ad, but the polarization, I'm not sure if they planned for that. You know,
and what was that worth? It was worth billions of dollars in a day. American Eagle stock climbed 12% in 24 hours because of that polarity, right? That just friction, that tension in marketing. Most people's human behavior is to walk away from that. Like to move away from conflict, to move away from confrontation. So they're not intentionally doing stuff that's going to rub people wrong, because that's why they always say, like, you know, no politics in business. Well, actually, what does your ideal customer care about? If your ideal customer, the customer that you want to work with more than anybody else, if they care about politics, you should absolutely talk about politics. And if your ideal customer does not, you absolutely should not talk politics. It's really simple. People always ask, Grant, should I do this? I don't know. What does your customer want? That's the question. Like, what does your customer want? So with me, I was actually, my inspiration for this kind of sucks, but I was watching Netflix and I was fascinated by the documentary about the Liver King. And I was like, this guy is amazing. Like, he's a nut job for sure. But like, he wasn't always like that. Brian Johnson was just some regular dude trying to sell supplements that helped his kids. And then this marketing firm got a hold of him and said, yeah, but you see, like, if you eat a piece of raw liver, watch the video. And then his first video got like 20, 30,000 views. And he was like, okay, he's starting to see it. And then the Liver King character like really came out. So as I'm sitting there watching this, I'm like, Liver King. And then I'm like, Marketing King. It's like, oh, okay. I think I can rock something like this, Marketing King. So I did a ton of market research on villain marketing, on heel turns, which is like old wrestling stuff, on just these types of characters. And what I realized, I don't know if you know Floyd Mayweather, the boxer.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know he was not always Floyd Money Mayweather?
I can assume that his middle name was not God given from his parents of
his
Moneymaker.
His Money Mayweather. It was not always Money Mayweather. Like, his nickname.
Money.
His first nickname was Pretty Boy Floyd.
Okay.
And he had this moment, you know, just like I think a lot of us have, he realized, like, well, if I'm not going to like get a lot of it, he wasn't taking off. He wasn't getting the lift that he wanted in his marketing. And he said, well, if I'm not going to be known as the guy that everybody wants to see win, I'm going to become the guy that everybody wants to see lose. Sure. And so he flipped the switch. He went from Pretty Boy Floyd to Money Mayweather. He started doing flashy stuff, buying all these cars, doing all that stuff. And what happened? His brand equity blew up because everybody wanted to see him get knocked out. Conor McGregor's done the same thing. There's a lot of other very famous athletes and wrestlers and all of those things that have done that. So anyways, go back to the Marketing King. It's like, okay, I'm having my heel turn moment here. If I put on a crown and that's it, like that's all you see is a picture of me wearing a crown, you instantly think one of two things, but mostly you think that guy's a douchebag.
Like, you know what? I was going to say douchebag and you beat me to it. That is, that's the exact word, man. Oh my God. We got the same freaking mug, the same
hair,
same
glasses.
I was literally going to call you a douchebag.
You instantly think that guy's a douchebag. So what am I doing? That's polarity, right? Like, I'm instantly polarizing just because of my wardrobe choice. I'm a dude sitting here and I've got a king crown on my head. You instantly go, okay, this guy's a douchebag. But you are intrigued, typically, sure, depending upon the hook, like depending upon how I've hooked you in to watch a piece of content. And so it's like, can I go from douchebag to like, oh, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. You and I have known each other for years. You've said on the show, like, you know what you're talking about, right? You've been around, you've done this for a while. So it's like, okay, can I use the crown to get attention? And then can I use my intellect, you know, to keep that attention? So that's where it's like, okay, but do I see myself as a king? Like, man, that guy, that sounds like something a douchebag would do, right? It's like, yeah. So that's where it's like, okay, if you don't, this is a long-winded answer to your question, but if you don't see yourself doing this, If you don't have that belief, you're never going to do it. I've done an enormous amount of work over the course of weeks creating this character. But what I'm really doing is can I do that? Okay, I'm getting belief in this idea that I can become the king and I can go out there and create content knowing what it's going to do. That kind of content, my first video, my plan is to sit there kind of dressed nice, wearing a crown with a cigar, and I'm going to light money on fire. That's like instantly polarizing. If you see somebody doing that, you've got a lot of questions instantly. Like that's a strong hook. And then I've got to be able to pull them through to get them to do whatever the next step in the thing is. But point being, like, if I don't have the belief that I can go off and do that, it's never going to happen. Like, I'm not going to get.
You may do it once, but you're not
going to do it one time. And then somebody's gonna be like, oh, that guy is a douchebag.
Yeah.
And then if I go, like, Lord, heaven forbid, if that happens, I go viral. It's like, I got a million people calling me a douchebag. So it's like, if you're not.
Hey, you know what? That's the best freaking thing that can happen now.
It's 100%. This is what I was listening to Dan Kennedy the other day. He's like, this is actually the best thing in marketing that can happen. But most people avoid it like the plague because their human nature is to avoid conflict. If you go viral and you got a million people hating on you, the reality is, let's say that you only, like we talked earlier, like 1-3% of people are going to take my business plan I rolled out for them earlier. Million times 1%. What is that? Is that 10,000? Is that 1,000 or 10,000? Whatever the math is.
Yeah, it's, yeah, 10,000.
If I got 10,000 people that said, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Like Grant are not good at math. That's what I took away from today's conversation.
we are common in all ways, right? Okay, so if I had a million people hate me, but then 10,000 people say, this guy knows what you're talking about. And then those 10,000 people go to my website and they see that I have this $47 product. And then let's say that 15% of those people take advantage of the product offering. That's 1,500 people buy my $50 product. I'm not going to get into the math, but that's tens of thousands of dollars in revenue from one video that everybody hated or that most of the people hated. And it's like, was that a good business decision? Yes. Because the reality is if a million people hate on me, my next video, I've got to come even stronger as the king and do something that's really going to piss them off even more. Because then they'll just start consuming the content so that they can hate on me. They're going to share it with their friends. And that's how you get that virality. The Liver King, and again, I don't condone any of the Liver King's like activities in the last year, especially, but the Liver King went from 0 to 1 million followers in 7 months. That's insane. That is insane. From 0 to 1 million followers in 7 months. And he built a $100 million supplement brand in 18 to 24 months because of that virality. So was that a good business decision? Absolutely it was. But it's the belief. It's the belief. If you don't, like, you've got to start. So I forget the other 3 points off the top of my head, but if you don't believe that you can, you're never going to. And if
it was lead generation, building organization, and leadership were the next three.
100%. I wholeheartedly stand behind, you know, your philosophy there. Wholeheartedly agree with it.
I appreciate that, Grant. How can somebody get information about comarketing.com?
Go to comarketing.com. Number one thing you can do, comarketing.com. Go to comarketing.com. You get started there. Doesn't cost you a penny to create an account. You can start learning how to add extra income to your real estate business. You guys are already doing this all the freaking time. I'm just going to try to help you get paid for it. And you got nothing to lose. So definitely go comarketing.com.
Marketing. Thank you for your time today. Did I get that right? Is it King Marketing?
Marketing King, bro. Like the
Marketing King. I'm dyslexic.
Marketing King. My crown is in the mail. It's on the way. So we'll see how this goes.
Where'd you get the crown from?
I had a hell of a time trying to find a crown. Just FYI. That's not a thing that a lot of people sell. I landed on Etsy, and then that led me to somebody that actually makes crowns. And so
I want you to get a trident too.
They're a customer. It's a customer. You want to get a trident too?
Yeah.
I was looking at. I don't know what the rest of the fit's going to look like. I used to dress really nice for work all the time, and then I stopped dressing nice. But I did notice an income correlation, right? So I started dressing nice again. But I'm like, yeah, but I still like want to put on like some camo pants or something like that.
No. You need a robe, a trident, and a crown.
That's it. I'm sure we're going to have all kinds of fun with this. I also thought about going the mayhem from Allstate route. So being a king, but also like dressed in a way that's like all disheveled. You know, it's supposed to be a disruptive concept, but I'm going to try it all. I'm going to try the trident. I'll try the robe. We'll see what we can do to get some virality. I think the crown's going to piss off enough people that it'll work, but we'll see.
Grant, thanks for your time today. And audience, please go to www.comarketing.com and then go to www.teachtosellbook.com. Everybody, thank you for joining in today. Until next time, have the best day of your life. Be grateful, make good choices. God bless you. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Hey there, No Broke Months listener. I've got some exciting news. We just passed 375,000 downloads for the No Broke Months podcast, and I cannot have done it without you. I am beyond grateful for every single listener who tunes in daily, takes action, and shares this journey with me. Now, with you and I, let's take it a step further. If this podcast has helped you, imagine what it could do for another salesperson who might be struggling. Share the show with them. Let them know there's a way to create consistent and predictable income, because no salesperson should ever have another broke month again. And hey, while you're at it, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a favorable review. Your support helps us reach even more salespeople who need this. Until the next episode, have the best day of your life. Be grateful, make good choices, go help someone, and share the show with a friend. God bless you.